Well, good evening, everyone. If you're a regular to Holland Road on a Sunday evening, you'll know that at the moment we're going through the book of Galatians. That's a letter that the Apostle Paul wrote to a group of churches in Galatia, probably modern-day Turkey, and we've got to chapter 3. So if you've got your Bibles, turn to chapter 3. We're going from verse 1, I think, 1169 in the Church Bible. It was this book, and probably Romans as well, that was instrumental, really, in the Great Reformation in the 14th century. And Martin Luther loved Galatians so much. So much of his preaching and teaching and writings were from Galatians that the book is known as Luther's book. And there's a lot of wonderful truths in this book. So let's read through to verse 14. Galatians 3. You foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? Before your very eyes, Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed as crucified. I would like to learn just one thing from you. Did you receive the Spirit by observing the law or by believing what you heard? Are you so foolish? After beginning with the Spirit, are you now trying to attain your goal by human effort? Have you suffered so much for nothing? If it really was for nothing, does God give you his Spirit and work miracles among you because you observe the law or because you believe what you heard? Consider Abraham. He believed God and it was credited to him as righteousness. Understand then that those who believe are children of Abraham. The scripture foresaw that God would justify the Gentiles by faith and announce the gospel in advance to Abraham. All the nations will be blessed through you, so that those who have faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith. All who rely on observing the law are under a curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone who does not continue to do everything written in the book of the law. Clearly, no one is justified before God by the law, because the righteous will live by faith. The law is not based on faith. On the contrary, the man who does these things will live by them. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who is hung on a tree. He redeemed us in order that the blessing given to Abraham might come to the Gentiles through Christ Jesus, so that by faith we may receive the promise of the Spirit. Amen. Amen. I want you to come with me back to your school days. Now, for some, you're going to have to travel quite a few years back to your school days. What were you like at school? Were you pretty good? Did you, you know, do what you were told? Or were you constantly in trouble? That would be very revealing tonight, wouldn't it, if we did nothing else but find out how people were at school. Relax, we're not going to do that. I was one of those people who was pretty good at school. I didn't get into too much trouble. But there were a few occasions when I did. And they stick in my memory. One of them was a time when there was a few of us. We were in the what we called the PE changing room, And to play football in the PE changing room was a big no-no. You know, there's a notice, I think, no ball games in the changing room. Well, the three of us, I don't know, I think most others have gone home. We were pretty sure the PE master, I even remember his name, Mr. Swain, we were pretty sure he was a long way away. And so we had a jolly good kick around in the changing room. It was fun until suddenly, out of nowhere, Mr. Swain turns up. Ah! And we suffered. He said, right, guys, go and choose your plimsoll. We were in for a hiding. We knew it. You know, we knew what the rule was. We'd broken the rule. There was a consequence. And that was a good hiding. I can remember choosing a nice big one. And the only reason I chose a big one was I thought it spreads it over the backside in a bigger area and it might not sting so much. If it's smaller, it's going to sting more. And it was a case of bending over and whack, whack, whack. And literally, I couldn't sit down for quite some time. It was painful. Tell you one thing, though. I didn't play football in the changing room again. That was for sure. We're going to be looking tonight a little bit about things related to that. Rules, rules broken, consequences. And I want to come back to that in a minute. But firstly, let's begin at verse 1 of Galatians 3. The title of this in my Bible is Faith or Observance of the Law. And I've broken this message up into three parts. And the first part I've called Question Time. And for the first five verses, Paul is asking five questions. And then in brackets, I've just put, we all need a Paul in our lives. But Paul starts off by saying, you foolish Galatians. I don't know why I thought of this, but there is a character that's on TV. If you never watch TV, you won't know it. And I'm not very good at impersonating people, but it goes something like this. I can't believe it. And if you understand who that is, then well done. If you don't know, Victor Meldrew, yes, comes to mind. I guess in modern day terms, it's almost like, you know, you say to yourself, hello, hello, are you really thinking? What's going on up there? But we'll stick with what Paul wrote, and that was, you foolish Galatians. Before your very eyes, sorry, who has bewitched you? That's the first question. Who has bewitched you? No, there was a time when these Galatians, they were believing in Jesus. They were enjoying their salvation through Jesus. They had faith in him for their salvation. They had a sense of they were going to heaven because of Jesus. And that's the wonderful news for us. We are going to heaven because of Jesus. But there'd been a group of people that had come in and said, hey, believing in Jesus, having faith in Jesus for your salvation is good. But actually, you can improve on that. You know, what about being circumcised? What about, you know, observing the Sabbath? What about obeying some of the laws of Moses? That will really make you super-duper Christians. And actually, perhaps you won't receive so much persecution. Because we read on and find they were being persecuted. And persecuted because they weren't fully observing some of the laws. And that's the first question Paul has of these Galatians. Who has bewitched you? Who's deceived you, in other words? Who's drawn you back from believing in Jesus and having faith in Jesus for your salvation to getting involved in law keeping? And we go on and we see that nobody is going to be saved through keeping the law. Well, the answer, of course, it was Judaizers, they were called. It was these Jewish Christians that themselves were keeping some of the Mosaic laws, and they wanted the Galatians to do it themselves. And then he goes on, and the second question is, and I'll just go through these questions again. He says, I would like to learn just one thing from you. Did you receive the Spirit by observing the law or by believing what you heard? Well, it was by believing what you heard. It was not by observing the law. That's the answer. Are you so foolish after beginning with the Spirit? Are you trying to obtain your goal by human effort? Ridiculous. Have you suffered so much for nothing? If it really was for nothing, does God give you his Spirit and work miracles among you because you observe the law or because you believe what you heard? That's the five questions Paul was asking. And I think, you know, when you read it, you think to yourself, how on earth did the Galatians go back to trying to keep the law when it was so clear that salvation was through faith and belief in Jesus alone? We would never have done that, would we? Ah, people aren't committing themselves this evening. You know, it seems obvious, doesn't it, as you go through? It's almost like saying, is the Pope a Catholic? Well, of course he is. But Paul was making the Galatians think. And, you know, I've looked at that passage and I thought to myself, you know, it's very easy, I think, for all of us at times, even though we've believed in Jesus for many years and seen him as the sole source of our salvation, it's easy, like the Galatians, maybe in a different way, but it's easy to go back to legalism. Just one example. Some years ago, and God had to really pick me up sharp on this. I got into a mode where I was thinking, if I have a quiet time, I'm going to have a really great day. And so I made sure I had my quiet times because I wanted a really great day. And I thought if I didn't have my quiet time, I wouldn't have such a good day. And so my quiet time, rather than something free and wonderful and beautiful to develop my relationship with Jesus, was just a legalistic thing. And suddenly, I was getting into legalism myself. And God was very good to me because it happened on a number of occasions. You know, I can remember not having my quiet time and expecting the day to go badly. And you know what? God gave me one of the best days out. It's like, that shouldn't have happened. I didn't have my quiet time this morning. And then it happened again. Didn't have a quiet time. And the Lord gave me a really great day. I'd look back on the day and say, that's been a fantastic day, Lord. Are you trying to say something to me? I should give up on my quiet times for really good days. No, of course not. He was trying to say to me, David, you have good days not because you have your quiet time. You have good days because of my grace. Isn't that wonderful? You know, God is good to us. and it comes through his grace. That's what he was trying to say to me. And I think eventually I got the message. It was grace. And, you know, please tonight, don't go out and say, do you know what that preacher David Leitch said? He said, you know, you don't have to have a quiet time. Because if you don't have a quiet time, you can have a really good day. Don't misquote me, please. I think it's good that we spend time with Jesus every day. He's worth spending time with, isn't he? He really is. And I know that, I don't know all of you, but I know many here really love Jesus, love spending time with him. But we do it because we want to do it, because he's so good, because we want to build our relationship with him, not because we feel that we have to. It's not a legalistic thing. Well, I could say a lot more on that, only to say this, that we all need a Paul in our lives. See, Paul made the Galatians think. He asked good questions. I don't know whether you've noticed this, but doctors are very good at asking questions. They're trained to ask good questions. Pastor we had in Liverpool was a doctor before he was our pastor. I sat down with him many times and I was just amazed at the questions he asked me. It's almost like he knew the questions to ask. Do you know what? I think we all need somebody like that in our lives. David Steele was here last Sunday. And something that he said, you know, was like right at the end, I thought, David, stop now, please, because you're beginning to verge on my territory. You're beginning to take one of my points. But that's all right, isn't it? Because sometimes we need to hear the same thing over and over again. But he was talking about, you know, accountability, having somebody speak into our lives, having somebody who can ask us the difficult questions. We all need people like that. Many years ago, some of you will know Pastor Rudman. He was that to me. He just saw me as a young lad and he would ask me really good questions. I can remember on one occasion, and I may have shared this before, but he had heard that I planned to go and visit somebody at a certain time. I didn't turn up. I didn't phone them. And I let them down. In fact, I went the following day. But they were left hanging. You know, is this guy coming or not? And he was somebody that came, confronted me. He said, David, that's not good. How do you feel that person felt waiting for you and you not turning up? I hadn't really thought about that. And it was his asking good questions of me, challenging me, that really helped me and shaped my life and has helped me to grow in the way that I have. And so I'd like to ask the question before we move on to you. Do you have somebody in your life that can ask the good questions? Are there people that you've given the freedom to say, do you know, if you see me veering off, if you see me veering into areas that I shouldn't be going into, if you see me doing things that I shouldn't be doing, would you come and speak to me? Would you come and ask me questions that really challenge me? Because I think we all need somebody like that in our lives. Do you have somebody? It's a question I'd like to ask. And then secondly, are you willing to be that sort of person to somebody else? Somebody comes to you and says, you know, will you ask me the questions? Will you confront me? And I know that if we were approached we count it a privilege, wouldn't we, to be a Paul or a Pauline into somebody else's life. We all need a Paul in our lives. And so you see there, Paul is challenging the Galatians and saying, you started so well, but you've drifted away from the truth. I want to bring you back. You do not get salvation. You do not know the joy of salvation by observing the law, but by believing what you heard. And then secondly, it's looking at an example time. We've had question time, now it's example time. And what I've put in brackets there is we all need an Abraham in our lives. Because he goes on and says, consider Abraham. He believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. Understand then that those who believe are children of Abraham. The scripture foresaw that God would justify the Gentiles by faith and announce the gospel in advance to Abraham. All nations will be blessed through you. So those who have faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith. You know, when Paul talks about consider Abraham, he believed God and it was credited to him as righteousness. That's a direct quote from Genesis chapter 15. You may want to turn with me. If we go from chapter 12, first of all, I'll come back to chapter 15. But the Lord said to Abraham, leave your country, your people, and your father's household, and go to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all the peoples on earth will be blessed through you. He's saying, I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. And then he repeats that in chapter 13. He says, I will make your offspring like the dust of the earth, so that if anyone could count the dust, then your offspring could be counted. Now chapter 15. After this, the word of the Lord came to Abraham in a vision. Do not be afraid, Abraham. I am your shield and your very great reward. But Abraham said, O sovereign Lord, what can you give me since I remain childless? And the one whom will inherit my estate is Eliezer of Damascus. And Abraham said, you have given me no children, so a servant in my household will be my heir. Then the word of the Lord came to him. This man will not be your heir, but a son coming from your own body will be your heir. He took him outside and said, look up at the heavens and count the stars, if indeed you can count them. Then he said to him, so shall your offspring be. Verse 6, and this is the quote, and Abraham believed the Lord, and he credited it to him as righteousness. Wow. Of course, Abraham was seen as the father of the Jewish nation. The Jews, you know, loved Abraham. You know, if you look at John chapter 8, I think it is, a couple of times in that passage, they say, oh, Abraham's our father. They're very proud of the fact that Abraham is their father. They're descended from Abraham. And now Paul is taking things one step further in our passage, and he's saying, do you know, Abraham had great faith. You know, when God spoke to him, he believed him. He was a man of faith. We see that too, don't we? When he's at Mount Moriah and is about to sacrifice his son. That takes faith to get to that point. And Isaac says to him, where is the sacrificial lamb? And then Abraham says, God himself will provide the lamb. He believed God. He was a man of faith. And in our passage, we see, you know, we are, along with Abraham, the children of faith, because he was faithful, believed God. We are now his spiritual children, and we in the same way are counted as righteous because of our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. So we are his descendants in that way. And that's what Paul is trying to say to the Galatians. You know, it's our faith in Christ that saves us. Not going through certain religious ceremonies and laws. Faith in Christ alone. And I want to say tonight that I think all of us need an Abraham in our lives. In other words, I believe we all need somebody who is an example to us. Who is an example to you? Paul was able to go back and bring Abraham as an example to the Galatians, as the man of faith. He believed God, it was credited to him as righteousness. As we believe, as we have faith in Jesus, we are righteous in him. Who do we have who is an example to us? We all need those sort of people. We all need an Abraham in our lives. I think for me, there's a number of people that I could mention, but I've been inspired by people like Billy Graham. I just think this man's amazing. Do you know one of the reasons why I think he's amazing? It's because he's lived a life that is transparent to the world. I read once that a newspaper reporter had been sent by the editor of this paper to dig the dirt on Billy Graham. He came back and said, I can't find any. Wow. Isn't that amazing? He just lived transparently. Doesn't mean to say he was perfect, but if there were things that were wrong, he'd put them right. There was no dirt on Billy Graham. I want to be like that. Before God, hopefully, if a reporter was sent to dig the dirt on my life, hopefully they wouldn't find too much. Well, the question is, I guess, for all of us, if somebody was sent to dig the dirt on us, what would they find? It's a challenge, isn't it? That's why I like Billy Graham, lived a transparent life. George Verwer, of course, is somebody who's preached here. I don't know if he's coming this year, but I think he came last year. And he's just so inspirational. Such a love for the nations. And one thing I like about him is his honesty. He's brutally honest in his preaching. He's really honest about himself. And again, I just like that. Don't we like honesty? All of us, I think, we really like honesty. And when people are honest, we really relate to them. We connect with them. And I've heard George Verwer say some things I've gone, wow. Did the great George Verwer say that? I don't think I could have been hearing that. He was honest. I think as we're honest with one another, we bring ourselves closer to that person. We love, it's very attractive, we love honesty. And just the other person that I really admire is Lauren Cunningham, who founded Youth with a Mission. And just for all sorts of reasons, really, he's a man of faith. But one thing I just loved about him was the values that I've seen him have in his life. And one of those values was simply this. He said he was talking with his wife, and at the time, the two children were quite young, and they were deciding whether to have a new sofa or take a holiday. They couldn't afford both, so it was one or the other. And in the end, they decided to go for the holiday. And this was the reason. They said, the children will remember the holiday, they won't remember the sofa. I thought, I like that. Great values that I've seen in him and his wife. We all need people that we can look to as examples in their lives, in their godliness, in their faith. Do we have such people? Hopefully, all of us have folks that we can look to and be inspired by. So, let's move on. And let's go back to Galatians. And let me just, bear with me while I find it, chapter 3. We've talked about question time. We see the first five verses. Paul's asking five questions. And they do say you've got to hear something five times before it really gets inside you. So I don't know if there's any connection there. But then it's example time with Abraham. He believed God and it was credited to him as righteousness. That all nations would be blessed through you. And then from verse 10 on, we see consequence time. What I've called consequence time. And in brackets I've put, we all need a redeemer. It says, all who rely on observing the law are under a curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone who does not continue to do everything written in the book of the law. So Paul is going on now and saying, hey, look at Abraham, see his life. Now look at what happens if you are trying to live your Christian life by obeying the law. There are consequences to that. And he's really pressing home the point here, isn't he? Just this whole little passage. He's just saying the same thing, it seems, over and over again in different ways, trying to get the message through that it's through faith alone that we have our salvation. And he says, clearly no one is justified before God by the law because the righteous will live by faith. It's like when we break the law, and you know, it doesn't matter how hard we try, we can't keep the law fully, can we? Nobody can. Who's kept all the laws of the land? Could you put your hand up? Well, I didn't think so. And if you have kept all the laws of the land, then please come and tell me afterwards how you did it. I would love to know, because I certainly haven't done it. We only have to break one law to be a lawbreaker. It's impossible to keep the law. And there's consequences if the law is broken, as I found out in that PE changing room. But Paul is saying here, don't try and live out your life in trying to keep the law, because actually, there will be consequences if you do. Now, that might give the impression that the law is bad, but the Mosaic law wasn't particularly bad. I think it did a number of things. When God gave Moses the law, and they had the law, it actually showed them that they were sinners because they couldn't keep the law. So when the law was there, what it did was it showed them that they were sinners and that they actually needed a saviour. Secondly, having the law, it led them to Jesus. It showed them that they needed a saviour. And I love it in the way that in verse 24 it says of Galatians 3, so the law was put in charge to lead us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith. So the law wasn't particularly bad, but it was there to lead us to Christ. And so Paul says, basically to the Galatians, no one's justified by the law. But then in verse 13, it says, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who is hung on a tree. He redeemed us in order that the blessing given to Abraham might come to us, the Gentiles, through Jesus, so that by faith we might receive the promise of his Spirit. There's a lovely hymn, and we're going to sing it at the end, by Keith Green. Jesus, my Redeemer. Jesus, God's own Son, precious Lamb of God, Messiah, Holy One. We're going to sing that. He's our Redeemer. And my time's up, but I just want to end in saying that we all need a Redeemer. And for me, I thought for many years as I was growing up that I was fine without Jesus, in a sense. I was a member of this church. I did church pretty well. I don't know how many times you come on a Sunday. I came 4 times on a Sunday. Well, actually 3. But I came for the Boys Brigade Bible class, then the morning service, in another place, afternoon crusaders, and I came in the evening for the evening service. I was in a Christian home, and I was a churchgoer. I lived a pretty good life. I thought that was it. That was me. But I discovered one Sunday school anniversary that I needed a Redeemer. It suddenly clicked that doing all these other things actually didn't cut the ice. It didn't count for anything. That doing those things actually didn't bring me into relationship with God, didn't bring salvation, didn't bring me into a place where I had heaven to look forward to. I realized that I needed, by faith, to accept Jesus into my life. I didn't do it at that meeting, but that evening I went home and I got down on my knees and said, Jesus, I need you. I need you to be my saviour, my redeemer, my friend. I ask you to personally come into my life by faith. I want to start living for you. And that was the turning point. That's my story of how I came to really know Jesus, my redeemer. And so my time's gone, but just to say the title this evening has been True Christianity. I think true Christianity is this. It's putting our faith and trust in Jesus Christ and him alone. Not in anything else, not in any legalism or laws, not trying to do it. A lot of people think that they're going to heaven simply because they do good deeds, maybe because they live in a Christian country, just because they even go to church. None of these things, some of them aren't bad in themselves, but none of these things in the end will save us. It is only through our faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And that really is what Paul was trying to get the Galatians to understand. Don't veer off back into legalism, trying to earn your salvation by obeying the laws. Come back and keep Jesus center. Keep him central. Let him be the one who leads and guides you by his Holy Spirit. And may God help us as we go out, even into this week, to allow the Holy Spirit, who he's given us, to lead us and guide us, so that we can continue to glorify him. Let's pray together. Let's just allow the Holy Spirit to speak to us. What is it, if anything, tonight that the Lord has just spoken into your heart? Just take this moment and say, Lord, would you underline that thought? That thought that your Holy Spirit dropped into my heart tonight, would you underline that? Help me to take hold of that. May it, as a seed, as we were hearing this morning, grow in my heart and take root and bring forth good fruit in these coming days. Lord, thank you for who you are, for what you've done for each one of us. Thank you, we've been redeemed from the curse of the law. We were separated from you, separated from Father God, destined to hell. But you've redeemed us. You've brought us back through your death on the cross. And now we've got such a glorious future to look forward to. We thank you for that. And give you all the praise and glory. Amen.